So in October of 1991, the Andrea Gale is a 72-foot fishing boat, and it leaves this New England harbor basically going on a regular fishing trip out sword fishing in the Atlantic Ocean. However, a storm stronger than any in recorded history hit the coast of Massachusetts right then. The storm was known officially as the Halloween Nor'easter. Isn't that a great name? The Halloween Nor'easter of 1991. And it became known as the Perfect Storm. You've probably heard of that. It inspired a book and a movie. And the perfect storm is really because three storms basically combined in just the right way to create this storm. See, Hurricane Grace was out in the Atlantic Ocean, but it was losing steam. And at the same time, there was a energy that was coming across from the Great Lakes. There was a storm system coming across from the Great Lakes. And then there was an old frontal system that was still in the New England area. And they all came together and created the perfect storm. Now, the perfect storm essentially is a hurricane at sea. And the guy who wrote the book wrote this quote, which is crazy to me. A mature hurricane is by far the most powerful event on Earth. The combined nuclear arsenals of the United States and the former Soviet Union don't contain enough energy to keep a hurricane going for just one day. So the perfect storm, when these three elements combined, regenerated this hurricane on the Atlantic Ocean, and it caused waves that were 100 feet high. And it had winds that were 100 miles an hour strong. And the last words that they ever heard from the ship's captain was, "She's coming on, boys. She's coming on strong." And then that's it. If you've never seen the movie, I'm going to do a dramatic reenactment here. This is what happens in the movie. Dallas, you need to put a spoiler alert on this if you've never seen the movie. When we came out of the movie, my wife was the maddest I have ever seen her in my entire life. She said, "I can't believe you made me go to that movie where everyone dies." And I said, "I thought you knew. It's based on a true story. Hey, you want to go get some ice cream?" She was so mad at me. Listen, it's one thing to weather a big storm, but it's quite another thing when three storms come at you at the same time and bowl you over at the same time. Or when a series of storms is just lined up and hits you one after another after another. See, that's one of the reasons I think this COVID-19 thing has been such a thing. It's the perfect storm, right? If this was just a virus, if this was just a health crisis, that would be one thing, but it's not. Now listen, there are some very real people that have become sick and actually died, and for them, this is a health crisis. But for most of us, if you're not sick right now, this is not a health crisis for you. What it is for us is it's a fear crisis. Many of us are afraid, but the fear alone isn't enough to make it the perfect storm. You add to that fear this isolation, this social emotional storm that's happening because people have been separated from each other. You add to that this knowledge that no matter who you are, we just don't have any idea what's coming next. There's going to be an economic and financial storm. And you add those all together and you have the perfect storm. That's what it feels like. I want to tell you about another perfect storm in Scripture today. See, Paul is on his way to Rome, and he's in chains. You need to understand that. He's in chains, and he's being delivered to Caesar for trial. This takes place in Acts chapter 27. If you've got a Bible or a digital device, pop it open and open up to Acts chapter 27. In verse 1, it begins with calm seas and smooth sailing, really. But here's our first point is storms will come. Storms will come. Acts 27, I'm going to start in verse 7 and go through 10. It says this, "We had several days of rough sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed down to the leeward side of Crete, past the Cape of Salim. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens." Sounds like a nice place. "Near the city of Lycia. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for long voyages by then because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. 'Sirs,' he said, 'I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries, and danger to our lives.'" Now, unlike the story of Jonah, This just appears to be a storm at sea. Jonah's storm was brought on by God, specifically thrown at Jonah to achieve his purposes. But this seems to be just a storm. I feel like God was probably saying, hey fella, what'd you expect sailing in October in the Mediterranean? It's always stormy in October in the Mediterranean. See, the storms will come. Man, they always come. They will come and they will come again. And sometimes they'll come three at a time, a perfect storm. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe it's your marriage and it's marked by fights and arguments. And it just seems to never end. And you're thinking to yourself, when is this ever going to end? Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now with a child. Maybe you've got a kid who is rebellious or just on the tracks towards trouble. And it seems like your kid's maybe saying to you, hey, listen, don't tell me how to live my life. I can do what I want to do. I'm old enough to make my own decisions and I'm going to do what I want. And maybe you're just tired of fighting with them about that, right? You feel like you want to just throw up your hands and say, hey, I give up. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you have a boss who's a tyrant, right? Or maybe just a coworker who is making your job a living hell. And there's a storm there every day you walk in. Maybe for you it's financial. You have been in trouble and you really don't even know how you sailed into these financial troubles, but you have no idea how to plot a course out of these financial troubles. And for some of you, it may be an actual physical storm. It's an illness or a disease. And it hits you like a white squall, and maybe you're not sure you can ride it out. Maybe you'll have to sail on, but with your ship battered, right? You see, we all face storms, and if you're facing a storm right now this morning, I want you to know we all face them. If you aren't facing a storm today, let me tell you, you need to spend your time mending your sails and checking your charts and looking out at the horizon, because there's more storms out there. And although we all face these storms, some of us have the tendency to make our storms worse. Don't look around the room right now at anybody. You don't want to do that. But we do have a tendency to do that. So let me give you some ways that we make our storms go from bad to worse. And here's the first one. It's we ignore godly wisdom. Ignoring godly wisdom can make your storms go from bad to worse. Acts 27:11 says, "But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and to the owner than to Paul." Now, when we hit storms in our life, most of us go looking for advice, right? Why? Because we want to get through the storm. We want to get out of this storm. We want it to end. And we tend to go to people sometimes who have made it through the storms, right? There is nothing wrong with that, asking for advice to get through the storm. But the question is, where are you getting your advice? Where are you getting your advice? Are you getting it from God's word? Are you getting it from just spending time listening to God? Are you getting that advice from God through prayer, or specifically through some people that you know are godly people who have walked through some of those storms before and have a godly perspective on it? See, the hard part is a lot of times when we're in a storm, we end up asking a bitter coworker about our work storm. We end up asking a friend who's maybe given up on a marriage and you're in the middle of troubles with your spouse. Like, we end up asking people that maybe we shouldn't be asking. Maybe it's just some self-help guru or somebody who's on TV or a psychologist or something that'll tell us what we want to hear in our storms rather than listening to God, right? And the worst part is many times we just think, well, I know, I'll just go inside myself. I'll just listen to my own heart and voice. And the truth of the matter is more often than not, we are selfish and have our own motives at heart. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think the pilot wanted to go on? Because he wanted to get to his port of call. He probably wanted to get home to his family. Why do you think the owner of the ship wanted them to go on? Well, because he had cargo on that ship that he probably wanted delivered and he wanted to get paid for. But Paul, this man of God who has some supernatural insight, is giving them the opposite, and they didn't listen to him. So you need to have your advice coming from trusted, reliable, godly sources when you're in a storm. Here's another way we can make our storm go from bad to worse. And it's going with popular opinion. When you go with popular opinion, you just kind of say, well, what does everybody think? Okay, majority rules, I'll go with that. Listen to what it says in Acts 27:12. "And since Fairhaven was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go to Phoenix farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. So they decided that this was a poor place to spend the winter. They didn't want to go there. They knew a better place, so they took a vote. That's what they did. They took a vote, and they decided to go to Phoenix. It's crazy to me that even in the first century, people wanted to spend their winter in Phoenix, right? I mean, there's great golfing there. You don't want to spend a summer there, but you're going to love the winters in Phoenix. And so they moved on to Phoenix. Now, this phenomenon is called the grass is greener effect, right? How often in the middle of a storm do we look out and think, well, it'll be better over there, or we should sail that direction? And in our lives, we talk about, well, the grass is greener right across the fence. In fact, I read this article about it's actually a guy who was like a college professor who wrote an article about the grass is greener effect. In fact, he called it the gag effect, so I'm not sure if he was completely serious, but he made this point, is that when we are looking down at our own grass, we're looking straight down and through the blades of grass, and so we actually see the dirt, the soil beneath us, and it desaturates the green of the grass. But when you're looking at your neighbor's grass, when you're looking over at their yard across the fence, because of the angle of your viewpoint, you're actually seeing all grass and no ground, and their grass seems greener. And the truth of the matter is, the grass is probably the same on both sides. In fact, the truth that I heard, which I just love, is if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you can bet their water bill is higher. Or a better one, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, it's probably because there's more manure over there, right? The truth of the matter is that there's a reason the grass is greener over there if it actually is greener. It may look greener, but it may not be. But maybe they're watering their lawn, or maybe they're fertilizing their lawn or aerating their lawn, and that's why it is greener. The truth of the matter is that the grass doesn't need to change. You do. You need to change. And so we don't go along with that grass is greener thinking, and we don't take a vote. We go to what we hear God telling us to do in the storm. Here's another way we can make storms go from bad to worse. It's going with the flow. Just going with the flow. Listen to what it says in Acts 27:13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed along close to the shore. Hey, but there's a light wind. It's a gentle south wind. This will be easy sailing. We should go. Now's the time to go. That guy, Paul, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Paul doesn't have any idea about sailing. Let's hit it. We can make it to Phoenix, right? I mean, surely we can make it to Phoenix. It's easy sailing to Phoenix. And let me tell you something. People do this all the time. They do this all the time. I know I shouldn't be doing this. But it is so easy. It's so convenient. I mean, it's right in front of me. See, I was praying for an open door, and here it is. This must be God's will for my life. Hey, slow down a second. Open doors open all the time. You know who else opened doors? Satan. He opens a door and says, look at this. I'm going to put this temptation in front of you. Let's see if he bites. And the truth of the matter is, you can't just use the circumstances around you to determine if God is telling you this is the direction to go in your storm. Don't rely on the circumstances. Acts 27:14-15 says this, but the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Guess what? Now we're really going with the flow. We don't want to be going with the flow, but we are going with the flow now, and we don't want to head that way because we're terrified of where that will lead us. A few verses later in Acts 27:20, it says this, the terrible storm raged unabated for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Now, this is where it gets serious. Let me ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there when all hope was gone? Right? I mean, it started with a light wind. It seemed like this is fine. Everything's going to work out fine. But the next thing you know, you're in this storm, and it's maybe the perfect storm, and it's raging on all sides of you, and it's hitting you on all sides of you. Do you remember a time when you gave up hope? Storm's raging. The sun's been blotted out. and you thought, this will never end. I won't make it through this. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn, they say. Who said that? Can I ask you, who said it's always darkest before the dawn? Who is that idiot, really? Like, do you ever wonder yourself, the first time that somebody said it's always darkest before the dawn, somebody just punched that guy straight in the face? It's not darkest before the dawn. There is a lack of hope in the middle of the night. Hey, I want you to take a look at this story from Katie Gehring. She has been going through a storm, and it's best that you hear it straight from her about how God is using this storm right now in her life.
Hey, Katie. Thank you for taking some time with us today. I just really know your story is one that could help some people. I'm preaching about the storm, and specifically this kind of perfect storm that comes at you from all sides and kind of storm after storm after storm, and it kind of never gives up. And it just made me think of some of the things that you've been going through, and I'd love for you to share your story. Why don't you tell people like what you're been going through and how it's kind of affected you?
Of course. So I've always had some chronic illnesses, but in the past, I was pretty healthy and pretty normal, just lots of activities, lots of friends, and it all kind of came crashing down one day when I thought I had the stomach flu, but none of the medications were working on me. I ended up with so many scans, I felt like I could glow, and I just felt awful all the time. I would lay in a ball crying on the couch because what happened is every single time I eat or drink anything, I am in intense pain and I throw it back up. So that is why I ended up with the feeding tube, but I'll get to that in a minute, I guess.
Yeah. You ended up going to the doctor, obviously. And how did that go down?
My doctor was actually on vacation when this all first started, but I went there and the doctors, for the most part, just blamed this all on mental health. And there's nothing wrong with getting help for mental health, but they would blow off everything I said to fit their own little box of, you're crazy. And that really hurt and that really brought me down emotionally. I ended up going to the hospital because I was going in every other day for IVs. Because I was getting so dehydrated, and I fought tooth and nail to get in the hospital. They didn't want to admit me. They wanted to send me home.
Yeah. And how long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for 11 days. So quite a long time. And every day that went by, I just got sadder and sadder because they thought this was mental health. Their plan was for me to just get over it.
Right.
I didn't have any real plan.
Nobody could visit you, right?
Nope, because of quarantine, I was all alone in the hospital, and everyone was just kind of coming at me on all sides, just kind of attacking me, and I felt so down and so depressed, just in a lot of pain, and not seeing a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And it just built on itself until at about day 10, I had this mental break where I was like, this is not worth being here. Like, I don't think I'll ever get better. There's nothing they can do for me. And I remember just praying, crying in the hospital bed, going, God, please let something good come out of this. Please use me for you in some way so that something good can come out of this pain, because I don't think anything ever could.
Yeah. So, how did God, I mean, I'm sure you were talking to God a lot during that whole time. How did God?
I really was.
How did he respond?
So seconds after praying that prayer, my little cousin, whose mom is a proclaimed atheist, and she's also going through the same thing I am, texted me and said, look, I don't know if this matters or helps at all, but I started praying and I noticed that I feel a lot better, even if it's just emotionally. And I was like, that made me cry even harder because I was like, oh my gosh, my cousin, like I love her so much. And I didn't think she'd ever come to God as like, you're helping me by going through this. And it was so touching. And then later that day, two other nurses came in the room and asked me about my faith, whether it was, hey, I used to go to church, where are you going? And how can I get in touch with churches online right now to, hey, just let me hear about your faith and what religion are you? And it was an amazing experience just to see God respond. It was crazy.
And they're asking you.
They were. It was, and I never really, I'm shy. So I never really thought I'd be able to talk to someone about this, but these people were just coming to me after I prayed to God that someone would. And it was so good. It was such a refreshing thing. I ended up getting out of the hospital the next day, and I was just so happy that while I was there, I could do something. I could help.
Yeah, absolutely. Katie, thanks for sharing your story. I know you're still in the middle of the storm. I definitely understand that. And you know, we love you, and I expect you back at my kitchen table as soon as you can. But I just want to encourage you that God is, you had some opportunities you never would have had except you were in the storm. And God is a God who walks with us through the storm. And we're praying that God will deliver you from this storm. So thank you, Katie. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, listen, the dawn comes on slowly. It's not darkest before the dawn. It's darkest in the middle of the night, and it gets lighter and lighter and lighter. But in the middle of the night, people can give up hope. And when hope is gone, let me tell you something that comes from God's word in this passage. Even the worst storms, they don't bother God. Even the worst storms don't bother God. Let's go back to the text, Acts 27, verses 22 through 26. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives. This is Paul speaking. Even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. If I was there, I'd be like, whoa, did you say we're going down? Like the ship will go down? See, God came to Paul and sent an angel to him to reassure him. And everyone on the ship is going to arrive safely, but the ship ain't going to make it. Now, remember, two verses earlier, we were reminded that all hope was gone, right? Listen, no matter how bad the storm of your life is, God has power over the storm. There is no storm that God can't conquer. We hold on to promises like in Isaiah 41:10 that says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. God is bigger than any storm. But here's what storms do for us. Storms reveal character. Boy, storms reveal character. Acts 27, we're going to verse 27. It says, about midnight on the 14th night of the storm, that's going to be important, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They took soundings and found the water was only 120 feet deep. A little later, they sounded again and found it was only 90 feet. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. This is crazy. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. Yeah, we're just putting out anchors here. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. Now get this, this is the 14th night. They haven't seen the sun or the stars. Can you imagine stuck in the worst storm you could ever imagine at sea for 14 days and night without a break? When they took soundings, what they would do is they would throw this big rock over the side of the boat and it would be attached to a rope with feet markers on the rope. And when the rock hits the ground, they pull it tight and they can see how deep the water is beneath them. So the rock hits the ground and they see it's 120 feet. They hit it and go, oh man, it's 90 feet. It's getting shallower and shallower. And they were getting dangerously close to the rocks. And these sailors begin to panic and they begin to run like cowards. They try to abandon ship. See, storms reveal character. It actually reminds me of a really interesting, one of the crazy maritime stories at sea. It's the story of the wreck of the Mary Celeste. The Mary Celeste was a boat. This happened in December of 1872. And a ship came upon the Mary Celeste. And the Mary Celeste was just steaming along. And nobody, there was, they looked at the ship and everything looked fine on it. The sails were unfurled. It was steaming straight ahead. There was still smoke coming out of the chimneys of the kitchens down below. The fires of the kitchens were still running. But here's the thing. There was nobody on the Mary Celeste. Not a soul. And they were never seen from again. Now, there were only two clues to the Mary Celeste. And here's the first one. A lifeboat was missing, and the sounding rod was rolling around on the deck. Now, what's a sounding rod? Some people think to themselves, what happened? Well, this is what some of the experts have put together that they think happened on this. See, sailors would put a sounding rod down into the hull of a ship. And the sounding rod would go down in. A sounding rod is basically like a long metal tube. It's a little bit like a straw. And they would put it down into a hole on the deck of the ship. It would go down into the bottom part of the ship, the bilge of the ship. And they would basically cap the top of it and pull it up. And they could see how much water is in the ship. Works just like a straw in your Coke, right? That's how it works. You can tell how much is in the bilge of the ship. And it tells you if you're sinking or not. Well, what most experts think happened is the day before they found the Mary Celeste, there was a huge storm out there. It was a massive gale, and it was characterized by a lot of updrafts. And so there were these unusual number of waterspouts. A waterspout is just a tornado that's on the water. And so there was all these waterspouts going. And what they think happened is, in the middle of this storm, during the water spouts and the weird pressure that was in the air, they think that they put the sounding rod down into the Coke, down into the bottom of the ship, and just like when you suck on a soda straw, they pulled it up, and the updrafts from this gave them a false reading that they thought there was so much water in the bilge of the ship that they were going down. They thought to themselves, there must be a gash in the bottom of the ship. We've taken on way too much water. They didn't shut anything down. They didn't do anything except jump in a lifeboat and get away from the ship because clearly she's going down. And they were never seen from again. Here's the crazy part. The captain, probably as he was looking at his ship, thought to himself, man, for a ship that's sinking, she sure is riding pretty high on the water. And the Mary Celeste would sail on unharmed, unscathed, after the storm. See, many times when we're in storms, we are tempted to abandon ship. We're tempted to, when we hear a crisis or we're in a panic or there is something that's facing us, we are tempted to just jump overboard and not deal with it. And you may be in that situation right now in your marriage. And you may be in that situation right now with your family or your job, right? You're thinking to yourself, this is a sinking ship. There is no way to recover from this. And I'm getting out of here. I am getting off, right? You've put the sounding rod down and you think all the indications are this baby's going down and I'm doomed. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, hear this. Storms are always temporary. They are always temporary. See, Paul is the prisoner on this ship at this time, right? And Paul essentially becomes the captain, right? They start listening to him. He's been a prisoner on this ship in chains being delivered to Rome. But when the storm gets going, he says to the people of the ship what to do. And they start treating him like the captain. They start listening to him instead of the captain, right? They listen and obey his commands. Storms reveal character. And when you're in the middle of a storm, you can see the character of people being developed. A crisis shows what people are made of. And a crisis tends to bring leadership to the front. So Paul reassures them, hey, you're not going to die. He begged them to eat. He says, you guys haven't eaten in 2 weeks. You got to eat something if we're going to ride out this storm. And they begin to eat and get their strength back. The next day, this is what happens. The next day, they end up trying to sail for shore. They get the sense that they're near land and they begin to sail for shore, right? And so they head towards shore and they begin to try and run this aground, right? So they're running their ship aground and they head towards the shore. But before they get close enough to shore, they actually run the bow aground. And the bow is stuck fast and they can't get to shore. And the waves begin hammering this boat from the back until finally the boat breaks up completely. and they're completely shipwrecked. And the people are like, help me, help me. And then they're trying to swim for shore. And they're swimming for shore. Only some of them can't swim. I can't swim. And for some reason, I have a motorcycle helmet on. And so they grab onto parts of the ship and they float back to shore. And every single person that was with them, every single one, all 276 people, they end up alive and safe on this island. See, in the storms of your life, you have a choice. You have a choice in every storm in your life. You can be a person of character, or you can abandon ship. See, storms give us opportunities. Storms give us opportunities. See, this entire ship actually ends up, everybody is on the beaches of the shore of an island called Malta. And the natives build this fire. And as the natives are building this fire and Paul is helping, he reaches into a wood pile and puts some wood onto the fire. And immediately out of the wood comes a snake that bites him on the hand. And the snake has got him fast on the hand. And he thinks to himself, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had this moment? Have you ever had a really God moment? Like, really God? Really? I have been in the most terrible storm you could ever imagine for 14 days straight. My ship then ran aground and got broken up. By the way, the entire time I've been in chains and I'm heading for a trial in Rome. The ship gets broken up. We have to swim for our lives. And when I finally get to shore and we're finally sitting around a warm fire, a snake jumps out of the wood pile and bites me on the hand. Not any snake, a poisonous snake. Really, God? I mean, really? Have you ever had that moment? But here's the crazy thing. The islanders, actually, Paul then does the most gangster move ever. He just shakes off the snake into the fire. And the islanders are just expecting him to swell up and die. They think, well, you must be a murderer, so you're going to swell up and die. But Paul doesn't. And as a result, it gives him these great opportunities to share the gospel and minister to people. Acts 28, verses 7 through 9 says this. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief officer of the island. He welcomed us, courteously fed us for 3 days, and as it happened, Publius's father was ill with a fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hand on him, he healed him. And then all the other sick people on the island came and were cured. Now get this. Paul ends up on the island of Malta. Should Paul have ever been in Malta? No, never. That wasn't a part of the itinerary. He would have never been there except for the storm. And he gets this opportunity to heal people. And although we're not told about it explicitly in the text, I assume he told everyone he knows about Jesus, because that's what Paul did everywhere he went. He had this opportunity to talk and minister to people he never would have had if he wasn't in the storm. See, storms give us opportunities that we would have never had if we didn't go through that storm. So here's the question for you. What opportunities are there in your storm? What opportunities are there right now for you in the middle of the storm that you're facing? Which leads me to, everybody all at once? Good, so what? Absolutely. Well, here's my so what. If you're filling in the notes, you can fill this in. It says this: trim the sails, dump the cargo, clear the decks, and ride out the storm. Trim the sails, dump the cargo, clear the decks, and ride out the storm. Trim the sails. Here's the first thing. Are you even headed in the right direction? Have you even sought God about the direction you're heading in the middle of your storm? You need God's direction for where you're going. Dump the cargo. Man, the truth of the matter is, when you're trying to survive a storm and that's all that matters, it's the most important thing, it is time to dump some of the other stuff in your life. Maybe it's some of the commitments you've got. Maybe it's some of the expenses or the material things that have just taken up your life. The cargo doesn't matter if you don't make it through the storm. And here's the thing, clear the decks. It's funny how many things get littered upon the decks of our ships, of our lives, right? We start thinking about what really matters. You start dumping the things that don't. You clear the decks. You dedicate those things that are most important to God, and you keep those on the desk. Your family, your faith, the things that God has called you to, the people that God has put in your lives, you clear the decks of everything else that's not relevant. And then you ride out the storm. I wish I could tell you there's some magic formula, but you can't stop the storm. You can ask God to deliver you from the storm. And you got to do all that other stuff first. You got to check your direction. You've got to get rid of the cargo and clear the decks. But then you ask the God of creation to ride with you through the storm. It is not wrong to ask God to kill the storm in your life. But you have to be willing to ride it out and ride it out in a faithful way with God on your side. See, we as humans can only weather the storms in our lives. There's only one person who can calm the storm, and his name is Jesus. Listen, if you're watching me today and you have a storm in your life, a significant storm, I would love to pray for you before I go. We have some discussion questions at the end of the video, so if you're watching that last song, just stay tuned for a couple of minutes for some questions at the end of the video you can discuss with your family and friends, but I would love to pray for you first. God, I know there's someone here who is facing a storm right now. And God, it may feel like the perfect storm closing in on them from all sides. Or maybe just they're looking at the horizon and they see storm after storm after storm. God, I pray that you would reach into their life, God, that you would give them the direction they need, Father, that you would show them the cargo that they need to unload from their ship, God. I pray that they would clear the decks and keep only the things that are essential for following you and for living a life that honors you, God. I pray you'd surround them with family and friends who are of godly character that would walk through the storm with them, God. And I pray that you would let the storm subside, that they might experience you again in that moment where they know you have walked them through the storm. God, I pray especially for my friend Katie as she continues to navigate her storm. God, I'm bold enough to pray for healing for her, God. I pray that you would heal her. But God, I'm so thankful that you're using her in the middle of her storm. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray.